Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 28, at paragraph 5 at the bottom of that particular page. And it begins with, in the following chapter, reading and unpacking only one paragraph today, which ends at the top of page 29 with obstacles to a spiritual experience. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Karen B. Reading the text today is Wendy B., Elaine T., and Kathleen O., and our supports for the additional things that are coming for newcomer greeters, Ramona A., and the announcements will be by our partner, Leslie M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Big Book study meeting is 12959, 12,959, and that would be for Monday, May 27th, 2019. And so the meeting that happened this morning already, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting for Tuesday, May 28th, 2019 is 12962, 12,962. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R. from Colorado. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. Pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. I will now ask Karen B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen B. in Utah. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for the opportunity to serve today, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for the recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this, please, would be your star 1 function on your phone keypad, not just your mute button on your handheld phone. Thank you so much for that consideration for a nice quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 28 in the chapter, There Is a Solution, paragraph number 5, which begins with, in the following chapter, and ends at the top of 29 with obstacle to a spiritual experience. And I will ask Wendy B. to read that paragraph to us and start our discussion by sharing her experience, strength, and hope. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. Okay, so in the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it. Then a chapter addressed the agnostic. Many who once were in this class are now among our members. Surprisingly enough, we find such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. And so where it said, a chapter addressed to the agnostic, and it's called We Agnostics. So when I first read the Big Book, I didn't think this chapter would apply to me, you know, since I already had a faith in God, you know. But as I work this program and study that chapter, I've gained so much in my realizations that unfold, you know, in its paragraphs. I always heard that God sent his spirit to live inside of me, but when I read the words in this chapter about God being deep inside of each of us, you know, I had an experience of him saying to me, I was not outside of you watching you suffer and be in discomfort. I was inside of you feeling your pain, you know, and that awareness, that experience changed me, you know, and I have a deep security now, you know, and knowing that God is inside of me, guiding and protecting me, you know, and I've learned in these rooms that I can look at areas where I'm not having faith as areas of agnosticism, you know, that still come up every day, areas where I'm still in fear and doubt, and I can turn those areas around and choose faith, you know, as an action, as a verb, you know, and I can exercise my faith muscle. And so before, I think my relationship with God was more in my mind, where now it's an actual experience where I know he's in my heart. And so that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so very much, Wendy B. So now we're going to open it up for those that would like to share on that particular paragraph, which is paragraph 5 on page 28. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Freedom H.
Hi, Freedom. Gotcha.
Beatrice O.
Hi, Beatrice.
Good morning.
Bruce E.
Hi, Bruce. Gotcha. Ida, hi.
Hi.
Mary B.
Hi, Mary B.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. I think that's it. That's how we like to start. The first six. Okay, I have Freedom H, Bruce E, Beatrice O, Ida A, Mary B, and Julie E.B. You're 3 minutes now. Freedom H, hi.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all those who do service. I really appreciate that the 12-step program addresses this issue, because I grew up in a very around people that were very narrow-minded, black and white thinking, that their way is the only way and any other way is completely wrong. And I'm learning that God's way is not my way at all. What I thought was definitely not at all. I'm learning through the 12-step program, everything that I thought was completely off and left field about God. This program has awakened me to a completely different knowledge that I never knew before. I'm learning so much through this 12-step program and through reading and awakening that the God's way is definitely not at all. He is a gentle, unconditional, loving God. And this judgment and criticism really shuts down any connection with God. And so I have to be surrendered to God in order to do his will. And I can't do that if I'm judging and thinking that I know better than everybody else. So I'm learning. Thank you. And I pass with that.
Thank you very much, Freedom. It's now Bruce E. Beatrice O will come after Bruce.
Yeah, hi, this is Bruce. I'm recovered. I'm in North Carolina now. And I like this paragraph here, understand it, then a chapter addressed to the agnostic. Many who once were in this class are among our members. Well, I once was in that class. Now, I did hear somebody tell me, I called them up and sharing a 10-step with them, and I had a lot of fear, and they said, fear is just, it sounds like you're an agnostic in a spiritual program. And they were right. You know, every time I go back to fear, I'm just turning out to be an agnostic again. So now, I grew up in a Lutheran home in Rockford, Illinois. My mom dragged me to church every Sunday for years until finally about age 12, she said, I think she pretty much agreed, I won't make you go anymore. So I was like Bill or Bob. I didn't want to darken the doorstep of a church for the rest of my life. But finally, the addiction just beat me into it. You know, I mean, I was just so addicted, such an addict. And finally, at age 38, you know, I just accepted a higher power and had a spiritual experience somewhat like Bill's, in a way a little bit like Bill's, I guess. And but I can become an agnostic real quick. And I heard the previous year talking about judgmentalism. I gotta apologize to the group. I have been very judgmental. I listen to people's shares. And if you're not up to my level spiritually or where I think I'm at spiritually, I'll judge it. You know, are they saved? Are they not saved? Are they this? Are they that? Do they know a higher power? Do they? You know, and I have judged people, and I apologize for that. and I'm sharing that with people and talking to people. I'll be writing about that, and I just want to put that apology out there, and I will try to not do that anymore. I don't want somebody judging me, so I don't need to be judging anybody else. So, and it's a great group of people, and man, much blessing has come to me through this whole program here, and these calls have been a real blessing for me. It's just been wonderful. So I'm trying to, instead of judging, I'm trying to pray for people. Just if I start to judge, I'll just start to pray for that person. So that's been working too. That's been good for me. So that's it, and I pass back to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Beatrice, oh, it's your turn, and then Ida A. will follow.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. from the Bay Area, California. Can I be heard?
You betcha. We'll let you know.
Okay. It's nice and quiet. Thank you. So this chapter where it says, in the following chapter, there appears to be an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it, and addresses the true agnostic. I just want to piggyback on the last share about being in fear. Then, you know, I'm being an agnostic. That's good to remember. But I wanted to share about, I was sharing a meeting the other day, and I got that question that everybody always asks, well, how did you get abstinent this time? And the 12 and 12 is a rich, rich book. And I encourage everyone who doesn't have the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's rich with information. And I was reading it this morning, and on page 33 of that book, it says, the love of God and man as we understood it, not at all. Therefore, we remained self-deceived and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity. And it says here also, the answer has to do with the quality of our faith rather than its quantity. This has been our blind spot. And, you know, I wrote in my book that I had found the blind spot. And I wrote that on September 19th, 2011. And in step three, I wrote, it says, there is only one key, and it is called willingness. And so I just want to say that agnostic, atheist, it doesn't matter. We can find a higher power. And I had to just apply my heart to receive instruction, not my mind, not... but my heart and soul. And I had to believe. I had to believe in a power greater than myself as I understood it. And I had to be willing. And in the 12 and 12, it says, this is the key. This is the key. I had a friend that told me she was sitting down and she was binging.
Time.
And well, I probably won't be able to share this story because I'm out of time, but I just wanted to say that God's ways are not our ways, like someone mentioned, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Beatrice. So, Ida A., you're next, and then Mary B. will come after you.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody here on the Visionary Line. Thanks for being here and providing a meeting. Ida A., compulsive overeater from Northern British Columbia, gratefully so, and I will be till the day I die, but I'm super happy to have a program, super happy to be learning so much about the big book and believing it. I believe in it today in a way I have never. And so as a child, well, let me go back and say, what was that line? No great obstacle to a spiritual experience. Wowzer. No great obstacle. As a child, I did not believe that. As a child, the big book was not allowed in my house. William James wasn't allowed in my house. Emmett Fox, none of those people that Bill W. got so much from. Bill W. would have been considered a cult. And but for the past 50 years, I have taken that narrow way of believing. I believed I had insurmountable obstacles to finding God. I believed something was very wrong with me, and I decided, I think, to be the best person I could be, but I kind of knew I was damned to hell. I had insurmountable obstacles to finding God. And I think food just helped me accept my lot in life, that that's as good as it could get. And my fundamental roots would just not accept a different way to God. So I ran away from home. I joined the military. I left the country. But I kept all my hurtful beliefs packed in a little invisible suitcase wherever I moved. And I used to think I knew 95% of everything that there was to know. So I don't know how this got in. I feel so blessed that this got in, that I can see that my childhood wasn't, it was filled with going to church, but it wasn't filled with a spiritual experience. And today, whether or not I call this creator, God, creator, higher power, Gus, right, the guy upstairs, I find God in nature for the most part. And I work in indigenous communities and hugging a tree. All trees are connected with energy from our creator. It's a beautiful thing. I just know today there's so much I don't know. And most days I can be calm about it. And I can lean into program regardless of the stressors that are going on. Thank you all for being here. Blessings. I pass.
Thank you so much, Ida A. We're going to open up the lines again in about 6 minutes for additional people to share if you'd like to. So here you go. We're on page 28 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on the fifth paragraph. We're unpacking that one today. That single paragraph starts with, in the following chapter, ends with, obstacle to a spiritual experience. So in that 6 minutes, you might want to get ready to share. In the meantime, we're going to listen to Mary B. and follow that up with Julie B. E.B.
Hi, Melanie. Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear, but we'll let you know.
Oh, it's Mary B.?
Mm-hmm. You're up.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mel. Hi, Mary B. Great. So I recovered compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona, and I've been listening the past 2 years, and I have shared before, but it's just been a while, and I just want to thank everybody that's been on the line, and the special editions, the podcast, all the service that you guys do with your reading and your, I can't even think right now, but the one thing I did want to say, because I'm coming up on 2 years on Friday of abstinence after 34 years of chronic relapse in Overeaters Anonymous, which is a miracle, is that God used to be a feeling for me. It's kind of hard to explain, but I would feel like God was there for me. Well, in the past 2 weeks, that's changed over, and now God is a fact. He's a fact in my life, just as much as it's a fact that I am a compulsive overeater, that I read this book every day, that I work these steps. These are all facts in my life today. And I'm so grateful, and with much gratitude and love in my heart, I just wanted to say thank you. And thanks for letting me share, Mel.
You're so welcome, Mary B. Thanks so much. Okay, so we're looking at Julie E.B. before we open up the lines again. Hi, Julie. It's your turn.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered with a daily reprieve today. I just love the line in here that says, we find these such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. I always thought that the way it happened was that I came up with my ideas, and then that created my experience. But what I learned in this program is that that, for me, is upside down and backwards as a true compulsive overeater. You know, been 300 pounds, been bed bound, 6 medical specialists, living free of that, you know, 135 pounds at a normal weight for several years. And I realize this chapter is in here for all of us. You know, I did grow up with a religious connection. It was one that helped me actually through some very difficult, you know, I didn't know what I was writing to, but I write letters to God and have a connection growing up. And then as I got older, I went into a profession related to spirituality, which is, you know, the connection between people, between me and the world, between me and myself, between me and others. And so it's funny how my higher power has brought me full circle. I thought that if I had the convictions and ideas, that then the experience would follow. But in this book, what we read is that as we take the actions, the actions, not the thinking, oh my gosh, I could think about something forever. Then as we take those actions, then we experience this. So as I put down the food, I experienced that I could put down the food. And as I learned to say, I need help and relied on others and reached out to others. I remember telling my sponsor another program, she's like, you can't just call me. And I would just call and sob about my life. And I was like, you don't know how hard it is for me just to call you. But then I took the action of reaching out to others and of listening to special editions and meetings and just filling my brain with recovery. And as I took that action, I began to think about things a different way. And a family member of mine who's kind of face deep in the food and trying in their own way to crawl out said, well, I don't think we should go to that family wedding. Those people were mean to you. And I had to explain to them, that was all in my imagination. These people, I was always fine with my husband's family. That was all happening, a lot of it in my imagination. As one of our fellows says on this line, it's not the people who love us or the people who hate us. It's people who never thought about us at all, nor did they need to. And I made those relationships difficult, and I pass that on to my children. And they think now, you know, some 10 years later that they need to hold up some grudge. And this is my husband's family. And just to show you one more spiritual experience and then I'll stop, was one of these family members came when I had a miscarriage and just sat with me in silence for a whole day 20 years ago. This is the family that I held a grudge against. So I hope you find freedom today. Thanks for letting me share. I pass. Sorry to go over.
Thanks, Julie V. The lines are now open for additional shares on that paragraph, paragraph number 5, page 28 of your big book.
Katie.
Yeah, Katie.
Rebecca. Katie who?
This is Mag C.
Katie.
Mag C.
Rebecca
T.
Mag.
Sarah KB.
There's a gentleman. Is that you, Lance? I can't remember if I heard you or something.
Jason S.
No, it was Jason.
Rebecca
S.
Patty D.
And then that was Patty D. I got you already.
Sherry KB.
I've got you already, Sherry KB.
Okay. Thanks, Dylan.
You're welcome. Okay, so this is what I have. I have Kate B., Sherry KB., Mag C., Patty D., and Jason S. Excellent. Let's go with that for now. Hi, Kate. It's your turn.
Hi, my name is Kate B., and I'm from Minnesota, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Melanie, for your service, and just wanted to welcome all the newcomers, too. You know, what comes to mind for me in this paragraph is, you know, the fact that we're in there is a solution, and we're just finishing it up, and not to forget what the solution is, that this book tells us about the allergy that we have, and what a relief it was for me to find out that it isn't my willpower and how I beat myself up over and over, but it is rather an allergy. And to know that it centers in my mind. So with that being said, as far as the agnostic chapter, I just wanted to touch on that because I came in with a religious faith and I really felt, you know, it wouldn't pertain to me as others had shared it. Boy, was I wrong. I agree with what a fellow shared before with how, you know, when I am taking my self-will back, that I am being agnostic. And I also find that I'm searching for something when I do that. I feel out of control or whatever emotions I have. I I'm searching. And what am I searching for? Because I believe God isn't lost. And so I'm searching for something that's always with me. And I wanted to also say that, you know, I believe that it comes down to two emotions, because when we are agnostic, I feel that all the emotions are kind of rooted in fear. And if I am in fear, I am not with God. The other emotion is love. The two emotions, love and fear. When I am in love, I am with God. I am connected, and I am abstinent without even trying. It's a miracle. And that's the emotion I choose to be in. And that's where I try to keep my in spiritual fit condition and stay in love and stay with God. And I just want to tell all the newcomers that the solution is there, that this really works, and just keep coming back and keep surrendering. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate B. Sherry, Kate B., you're next, and then Mags will come in after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And welcome to Tuesday. Anyhow, you know, I just want to jump in. There's, you know, it's beautiful that we are in, there is a solution, and then we're going to more about alcoholism, which explains more of my disease, and then we agnostics. And I want to chime in on we agnostics. I'd like to refer to page 287. This is really beautiful what's written here, and I'm just going to try to read it as quickly as possible, because to me this really explains a lot of stuff. The idea that religion and spirituality were not one and the same was a new notion. My sponsor asked that I merely remain open-minded to the possibility that there was a power greater than myself, one of my own understanding. He assured me that no person was going to impose a belief system on me, that it was a personal matter. Reluctantly, I opened my mind to the fact that maybe, just maybe, there was something to this spiritual lifestyle. Slowly but surely, I realized that there was indeed a power greater than myself, and I soon found myself with a full-time God in my life and following in a spiritual path that didn't conflict with my personal religious convictions. Following the spiritual path made a major difference in my life. It seemed to fill that lonely hole that I used to fill with alcohol. My self-esteem improved dramatically, and I knew happiness and serenity as I had never known it before. I started to see the beauty and the usefulness in my own existence and tried to express my gratitude through helping others in whatever ways I could. A confidence and faith entered my life and unraveled in a plan for me that was bigger and better than I could have ever imagined. And I think that's it in a nutshell, frankly. I think that's what it describes here about you know, getting into this book and getting connected on a spiritual experience, what can happen for any one of us. And if you are agnostic, there's a great Sunday special edition, number 9660, that talked about being agnostic, and I think it was fabulous. And we're just all so lucky to have this, all these experiences of all of us in this book, and it gives us wonderful directions. And I'm grateful for my higher power for that. And I just know that this is a paragraph of hope. It's also a paragraph of freedom, and that you can have this too if you want it. And just know that, you know, please don't skip over we agnostic just because you do believe in a power greater than yourself or that you are agnostic, because this is about getting a connection and understanding a personal relationship with the power greater than myself. That's what I learned, because I used to skip over that chapter. And I thought, well, I have a relationship with God, no big deal. Yeah, but I was agnostic temperament is what I was. And it is that, you know, agnostic that gets in the way for me. It's like somebody else said, the self-will and, yeah, self-reliance. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry KB. Mag C., you're next, madam. And then Patty D. will follow you.
Hey, everybody. This is Mag C. in a weirdly stormy Denver, Colorado. I still think it's the greatest thing in the world that we actually get. We talk about these things, and it is the first and foremost part of the steps. I mean, 2 and 3 for me, and I can only speak from my own experience in the past 16, 17 years now, that doing the steps, you know, 2 and 3 are always a huge stumbling block for me. I was a very, very, very religious growing up. And it kind of got wrapped up into the abuse, the physical and sexual abuse that I suffered as a kid. So that trauma, you know, from such an early age got wrapped up in this religious stuff, and boy, was I messed up. And eventually, I just ended up just feeling so angry at, you know, the world, at God, that I just basically disconnected completely from any kind of spirituality. And it wasn't until I got, I was, you know, defeated inside an inpatient treatment center in Arizona, trying to slip my own wrists in the, like, padded room, that that I basically just kind of gave up and said, I can't do this anymore. And that was enough to open the door back up into the hope and possibility, you know, but it took that much. I was so severely, I had such condemnation for it. And as one of our fellows just said, I couldn't help but be in feeling that, needing that feeling of superiority over other people that didn't, you know, feel like I felt. And I think that my challenge in this program is basically to live and let live, and to be okay with that. And to say, you know, for me, I don't have an entity as my God, but what I do have is this deep knowing and feeling of security and safety and peace and tranquility that comes from not having fear and shame around who I am, no matter what I believe. And not feeling like the victim of some universal plot, you know, oh, well, now you're going to eat, you know, your brains out, and you're going to throw it up, and then you're going to be huge, and then you're going to restrict. And that crazy is behind me. But when I get very, very, very agitated and nervous, I find my friends in the program. I come back into the fold if I've released it. Thank you. And that's the steps. That is the program right there, this huge group of people. Like, an individual is fallible, but this group of people is spiritual. Thank you. That's all I've got. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Meg C. Patty D., you're next, and then Jason will follow you.
Hi, this is Patty D., compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. And, I just have gotten so much from the shares this morning. And I just wanted to share that I had been recovered for 8 months and relapsed. And when I was in the program and had gotten recovery, even as I was going through the book, when I got to the chapter about agnostics, I, just as someone had just shared, I thought, well, this isn't really for me. You know, I was a strong, in my faith, I was a Christian, born again, believed God, Spirit lived inside me. My faith was so important to me. And I thought, well, you know, I kind of read it, but, you know, didn't apply any of it to me. And just something hit me when Lara shared this morning. I was so judgmental and of others. And boy, God is speaking to me this morning. And also, the first person we read, I can't remember her name, but what she shared, what I have never gotten is that it wasn't just that God lived inside me, but he was feeling my pain. It wasn't just that he understood my pain, but he was inside feeling it with me. I don't know why I never got that. But man, that's hitting me like a lightning bolt this morning. And I'm in my fourth day of entire abstinence since my relapse. And I realized that all of my agnostic traits, they're all about self-control, you know, and self-will. And I was sponsoring people in my recovery, and I had no business doing that because I was not truly in the program the way it should be. And I just am so thankful for this meeting and for the shares and for all of you out there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty D. Jason S., you're going to be next, but I think we might have time for at least one more person to share after you. Come on, Jason.
Good morning, Melanie and fellow visionaries. My name is Jason S., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Tacoma, Alberta, Canada. This small paragraph speaks to my heart quite a bit. So one of the questions that I get from reading this is it makes me think about what my compulsive eating looks like for me. And, you know, for me, my experience is that food was only a symptom of what was really the root of my disease. My biggest obstacle is the fact that I'm now adjusted to life and that, you know, when things don't go my way, that's when all the calamity and stuff comes about, you know. So it also makes me think, why does the book speak to the agnostic or the atheist, you know? It also explains to me that, you know, I have a lack of power. And, you know, I have a lack of power because my way didn't work. You know, every time that I tried to do things the way that I thought best, you know, whether it was with good intentions or not, you know, that things just, you know, ended up flopping every time. You know, and part of my experience also is that powerlessness drives me to seek something bigger than myself. And on a daily basis, you know, whatever my current level of agnosticism is relative to how much unmanageability I have going on in my life. Because, that usually drives me back to seeking a higher power. And, I keep taking my will back and my ego gets in there. And so that thing keeps cropping up. I'm thankful that I was desperate enough that no matter what those obstacles were, I was willing to try and do this thing. I have this program to go to when this agnosticism comes up, and I can choose to follow the steps and seek the higher power to get me out of that. And I'm really thankful for that. So that's all I'm going to share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jason S. Appreciate that. Let's see. I think we have some time for at least one more person to share. Let's go with that and see what happens after.
Laura R.
Hi, Laura. Let's go with you and see if we might have more. You are on.
Thank you. Oh, what a great meeting. Thank you for all that have shared and those of you that have been of the service. And I was just thinking about when it says in the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism. Thank God. You know, I have been sober for 15 years, but trying to get this abstinence thing for 1 year, and I just keep relapsing. And it's so trippy because I don't get it, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And I'm the sometimes slowly for sure, even in my recovery and the other program. But I am so grateful that this book is a textbook for me to study. And what I'm learning is it's the same thing. I had a faith when I came in here, and it's just gone completely upside down the longer I stay in recovery. And who I thought that was my higher power when I came in is not who I thought today. And, you know, people in this program and other programs have told me to set aside everything I think I know. And I just have to have an open mind. And I think someone was mentioning the 12-12 earlier. And I think in it somewhere, it just talks about how we have to rightly relate ourselves to God. And also a couple pages above, it talks about how we have to have a certain simple attitude. And I'm telling you, like, my attitude with God is not one of humility. It's, or wasn't, and I'm learning just recently to just, like, how desperate I am for my higher power. I mean, I am desperate. Like Bill was talking about in his story, like, without him, I am lost. And I don't think I get the magnitude of my lostness. You know, like, I am, it, you know, I am no match for my mind. And, you know, it talks about in the big book, some, you know, it's like we have are driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. If I think that I can manage that, good luck. And I have tried, and it sucks. And my days are not free, you know. And yesterday, there was not a cloud on the horizon. I was in morning meditation and prayer, and this wave of depression comes over me. And I'm like, don't want to, not don't want to live, but like, don't want to do it. Don't want to do this, don't want to do that, you know, just don't want to. And I'm like, what? And I'm starting to learn, like, wait a second, is that my disease? Because honestly, like, the alcoholic life is the only normal one. So that's where my head goes most of the time. And I let it go. For years, I've just sat in that negativity instead of trying, which is so cool. And I'm so excited about this program because it gives us clear-cut instructions in the next paragraph of how to recover. And I have to practice one day at a time. I'm not there yet, clearly, but like on the 10th step, you know, when these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Okay, that's something I need to do. We discuss them with someone immediately. Like that stuff takes practice and action, like someone was talking about, action. Okay. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. There's time for one more person to share. Press star one. That will allow you to be heard. Commenting on paragraph five.
Hi, this is Patty T.
Hi, Patty T. We'll take it. You can take
okay.
it to the end.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service, and thank everybody for this amazing meeting this morning. You know, I wasn't in program too long before I realized that my disease had blocked me from practicing the religions that I sought faith in. That was because of my black and white thinking. And as I've been in this program over the years, my experience with faith and with God is that I have to continue to practice seeking that. Just like somebody said, you know, my mind, I have that allergy of the body and that crazy twist of the mind that always takes me back to, it's up to me, it's me, it's me, it's me, I. And when I can just practice, and what I'm learning in this recovery, you know, over the last year, is that if I can just practice thinking of other, it's a gateway to finding faith and to finding that relationship with God. It's a very practical program for me. And many years I lived, you know, in my thinking as an agnostic, and many off and on to the for 6.5 years in chronic relapse, I lived in complete, total atheism, you know, thinking God deserted me, there isn't God, blah, 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 you know. But all of that has to do with my mind and that strange twist. And the only way to get a straight mind is to practice opening up to others, accepting from others. And that's how I find God. And that's how I found faith. And that's how I find abstinence and recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Patty T. And that's the last share that we have today for the recorded portion of our meeting. We'll continue on after we close this part. So stick with us to the top of the hour. I wanted to thank everyone that served on the Tuesday meeting for the month of May. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. Please continue if you can. And those that are new, please join us in this
realm of the service here. We'd love to have you on the workforce. And then with that, I would like to then tell you, thanks for all the individual shares today. It was wonderful. We will now close this portion of the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, and we'll follow that with a serenity prayer as we move into greeting newcomers. Elaine T., would you please read page 164? A book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, yes, this is Elaine T. Recovered Just for Today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thanks, Melanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you.